day. 1129.75 Harper versus CR England Incorporated. Good morning. Still is, Mr. Rage?
Good morning, Your Honors. Jeffrey Rage for the plaintiff, Kenneth Harper. May it please the court. We're here this morning for Kenneth Harper. The district court had entered summary judgment on his claims of discrimination and retaliation. I do want to make sure that the court is aware clearly that we're only appealing the retaliation count and the retaliation claim. And we think that, you know, primarily the district court in these set of facts, disputed facts, there could have been more than one conclusion that's drawn from these set of facts. And we think that reasonable jurors could have found evidence of retaliation in favor of Mr. Harper. We think reasonable jurors could have found evidence of pretext. If you look at all of the facts, you know, first, when Mr. Harper complained in early July and late July of the unwarranted discipline by Mr. Metzler, we think that that could certainly restart the suspicious timing clock for retaliation, since he ended up being terminated on August 3rd. When you look at the type of discipline that was given to him in June, three policies, two of the three disciplines were policies that were either not in existence or not uniformly enforced. If you look at the people who were in play, Mr. Metzler, who had investigated the original complaint of the racial slur in the workplace and had only interviewed two of nine witnesses. He was Mr. Harper's supervisor. He was the one who determined that he should receive two warnings for policies that were either, again, not in existence or not uniformly enforced. And, you know, he was one of the decision makers, even though there seems to be a little bit of the HR person thinks one person was the decision maker, the supervisor thinks the HR person and somebody else was the decision maker, and we have differing reasons at differing stages of this litigation. We have, at the federal court level, the defendant says he was fired simply for absences. At the EEOC level, they said he was fired for job performance, negative job performance, and absences. Basically, going back to the three warnings that he was given in late June of 2007. We have documents regarding other people who were treated more favorably regarding one of the policies for which he was given a warning. Carlton Ewell, Phil Gruska were treated more favorably regarding start to hire rates. And again, that was a policy that was not uniformly enforced with regarding CR England, regarding Mr. Metzler, regarding Mr. Harper. So, you know, if you read the district court's opinion, they seem to focus on a particular email. They seem to focus upon the fact that they infer or they deduce that Mr. Harper was not specifically, didn't specifically use the word retaliation, or that he was, you know, kind of, I think one of the conclusions in the district court's order was that you can't go back and say, well, this is what it really was, basically. Whereas at the time, I think it's very clear, especially in Mr. Harper's July 10th email and his July 31st conversation with the HR person, is that he He said, I'm being singled out by Mr. Metzler. I'm being unfairly disciplined by Mr. Metzler. And he relates it all back to the original incident that occurred about 4 months earlier in March that Mr. Metzler had investigated. And Mr. Metzler had given his opinion to Mr. Harper after the fact of the racial slur being used in the workplace, and basically said, I'm older, I had to put up with a lot worse, and I think you should grow a thicker skin. So I think his lack of investigation afterwards, his attitude toward what had occurred earlier, gives some context to the entire story, when I think the district court focused upon one particular email, didn't look at the entire story. And reasonable minds could differ, reasonable jurors could differ on those facts and reach a different conclusion. And I would like to reserve the rest of the time for rebuttal, unless the court has questions now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mr. Nye. And it is still good morning.
Just Bill. May it please the court. A number of points. Maybe I should start with Mr. Metzler. That seemed to be the focus of counsel's remarks just now, and the brief that was filed by behalf of appellant spends a lot of time talking about Mr. Metzler. Seems to be a characterization, attempt to characterize him as the villain in the piece. I think in the brief it's even said that Mr. Metzler orchestrated Harper's termination. I don't think that's supported by the record. But maybe more importantly, and the point I'd like to make here is Mr. Metzler was not the decision maker. Was not the decision maker. It's very clear, and it's not true that there's some uncertainty in the testimony of Carrie Johansson in Salt Lake City or Chris Kelsey in Burns Harbor. Chris Kelsey testified very clearly that he made the decision. In his affidavit, Chris Kelsey, that's the director of the school, said that he didn't even talk to Mr. Metzler about it. And similarly, Carrie Johansson, in her deposition, said the decision was made by Chris Kelsey, that these kinds of termination decisions are left up to the local people. What she did say is that, of course, the reason for termination was attendance. As put in the terms of the termination notice, he wasn't able to do the job full time.
You know what I was wondering about? How he was supposed to comply with the directive not to take any more days off when the company was charging holidays against him. In other words, was he expected to work on Thanksgiving and Christmas?
I think that's silly. I really do. His job is as an instructor. The reason his attendance is important is because it's a truck driving school. Sierra England is a trucking company, and they need drivers. They wouldn't want him there unless the students are there. I don't know the schedule, but I can't imagine it includes Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I think that's silly to imply that. And there's no evidence. The reason he was terminated was that he took too many days off in the aggregate, that he left early too many times in the aggregate. I think it's 17 and 17. And Carrie Johansson's contribution was Chris Kelsey wanted to be sure that Mr. Harper had exceeded his leave. It wasn't an issue.
Excuse me, counsel. What was there any? I don't remember right now, but his attendance record after his allegations of Mr. Metzler's conduct toward him was the same as it was before, wasn't it? He didn't have any really difference in his attendance, or as you put it, lack thereof, or his leaving early. I mean, he was doing that before, wasn't he?
What?
I mean, a lot of it had to do with his parenting and the.
Employees were allowed a certain number of days off per year. And on a given occasion, it might have been fine to take that day off. But there was a limit to how much they could take. Good reason, bad reason. Good or bad with respect to one particular time. And Kerry Johansson's testimony was that Chris Kelsey didn't, he wanted to make sure, yes, he had taken too much time off. In other words, he did not rely on Mr. Metzler. So he checked with Kerry Johansson, and she checked the records and informed him that, yes, he had too much time. He'd taken too much time in the aggregate.
But wasn't Mr. Harper complaining that Mr. Metzler was treating him unfair? Didn't he complain about that?
He did, but his complaints about Mr. Metzler didn't have to do with anything to do with racial harassment or racial discrimination. There was friction there.
But, counsel, if you're saying that Mr. Kelsey didn't rely on Mr. Metzler and there are these complaints, then shouldn't he have talked? If you're saying, oh, he never talked to him, you're making a big point of that.
I didn't mean that. He didn't rely on him with respect to the very specific question of whether Mr. Harper had taken too much time in the aggregate. And that was the reason for termination. I think I don't sense that the appellant really is arguing that that there's suspicious timing if one looks at when the time from March until August. The argument seems to be that somehow the clock reset in July or sometime in July. This issue was dealt with by the district court, and there are copies in the records of both the email and the notes of the telephone conversation. And again, there's nothing in them complaining about anything to do with racial harassment.
Counsel, you believe he had to say the words, he is retaliating against me for my, he has to use all of those exact words when the circumstances.
I don't think he has to use the specific word retaliation, but I think there has to be some reason in there to believe that what's going on here is retaliation as opposed to just conflict between Metzler, who took the job that Harper had and is an older man and it's his boss and he's taking too much time off. There's no reason other than speculation to think that Metzler was in July retaliating for what happened in March. It's too long a time, and it particularly in a situation where the employer took effective remedial action, and Mr. Harper testified that after that incident in March, when he was called a name, that it never happened again or anything similar.
And again, well, you're saying nothing similar, but then isn't it true that, and it's already been stated here that then Mr. Metzler said, you know, get a thicker skin. I've had more done to me before. I mean, this is Mr. Metzler, who was a witness supposedly to the event. He was the one who was told to investigate the event. He continued to be a supervisor. There was some bad blood. There was a lot of stuff going on here. Isn't it enough to take it to a jury so the jury can determine really what went on here instead of, you know.
Even if you call it bad blood, but there's no indication it's bad blood that's motivated either by racial animus, a very doubtful thing since they're both African American, nor is there any inference or basis for an inference, reasonable inference, that Metzler was retaliating in August. In July, given the fact that it is undisputed that the man did take more time off than he was supposed to. I think it's worth remembering. It's not a matter of magic words, but in his deposition, long after all this is over and the lawsuit's been filed, Mr. Harper was asked whether he was aware of any evidence that the reason for termination was something other than attendance, and he said no. So even at his deposition, probably a year after this lawsuit was filed, he was not claiming that the reason for termination was retaliation. So it's very hard to say that in his emails and his phone calls in July of 2007, he was trying to complain about retaliation when that didn't occur to him in his deposition. There is I think it's one other thing I'd like to comment on, and that is this failure to indicate anyone, a similarly situated employee who was treated less favorably. Some names have been mentioned. The only one where there's any suggestion that had to do with attendance was Beckham. But when you look at the record, there's no evidence of Beckham's attendance records have been admitted to evidence. And also what you can see in the record is that Beckham voluntarily quit because he could not do the required work, the required schedule. That's in the appendix at 405. So if anything, when one looks at Beckham, you can see that the employer insists people have to leave if they can't meet the schedule. Beckham did it voluntarily. So there's no suggestion that Beckham, that any employee was treated less favorably for similar conduct, and similar conduct would have to have something to do with attendance.
What about their training rates and the percentages?
The short answer is it wasn't the reason for termination. There were expectations. They changed from time to time. They were not the reason for termination. Chris Kelsey's testimony and also the affidavit of Eric Metzler clearly say that the only reason for termination was the attendance issues.
Yeah. At this stage of the litigation, the position that's being taken is that attendance was the only issue, but apparently there is some evidence in the record regarding performance issues as being part of the termination decision.
Well, performance, I think, embraces attendance. Attendance is like 8% of life is showing up, and I think performance always requires attendance. Something else on that point. It's been claimed that the employer changed just reasons. And I think the best response to that is to look at, in Harbor's testimony, in his deposition, I asked him, of course, about the meeting at which Chris Kelsey told him he was being terminated. And Mr. Harper testified that the reason given at that time was attendance. So that's what Chris Kelsey said on the day he made the decision. And when one looks at the form that was filled out soon thereafter, it says not able to work full time. So there's no shifting of reasons. The essence of it's the same, just not being there enough. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Rege, how much time? 4 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. First of all, during Christopher Kelsey's deposition at page 235 of the appendix, he clearly says he made the decision to terminate Kenneth Harper after consulting Carrie Johansson, who was the HR person in Salt Lake City. She denied that during her deposition at page 295 of the appendix, stated the decision to terminate Harper was made by Supervisor Metzler in conjunction with Director Kelsey. So,
in conjunction with?
Chris Kelsey, who was the director of the training facility in Burns Harbor.
I just didn't hear.
Yes.
What you said.
I believe counsel characterized the investigation by Mr. Metzler as effective remedial action. Basically, what you had is Mr. Metzler interviewed two of the nine people who were potential witnesses. One person said, yes, Darnell Humphrey called Mr. Harper a racial slur. That person, Richard Ramos, was later fired fairly quickly after that occurred. Interviewed one other person who apparently did not recall. There was no other investigation done. And then that is basically what was told to Mr. Harper is, this is what we've done, and Mr. Metzler is going to be your supervisor. Mr. Metzler tells him to grow a thicker skin. And then basically, Mr. Harper, who's not the wrongdoer, is told, well, if you don't like Mr. Metzler, you can transfer somewhere else, but you have to work with him. It's simply incorrect for counsel to stand up here and say that Mr. Harper didn't claim that he was retaliated against during his deposition. Mr. Harper clearly claimed that he thought, if we go to June, he thought all of the employee warnings that were given to him by Mr. Metzler was directly for him making a point of continuing to say, you know, I didn't agree with your investigation and things like that. He continued to work. But that's simply not correct. You heard counsel say that regarding the training rates, the expectations change from time to time. You know, again, giving a warning is within a supervisor's discretion. And if it's not uniformly enforced, like it wasn't with Mr. Harper, because there was no other warning given to any other driver from the records that were produced by the defendant, and there's no policy for, you know, if you fall below a certain weight, you'll be given a warning or not. So that is something that was given to Mr. Harper, we think, in direct retaliation for continuing to complain. And we think that the district court's entry of summary judgment should be reversed, because we think a jury should be allowed to see all of this evidence and make its determination, because reasonable minds could differ based upon the facts as shown. And there are clearly material issues in dispute. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Thank you, Mr. Nye, and whoever's sitting with you. And the case will be taken under advisement. This court will stand in recess until Monday morning at 9:30. Oh, boy. Thank you.